Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Pro-life movement has gradually tried to change the language in the past few years, and we call them now victims of abortion photography. Victims of abortion, because that's what they are. Instead of using the word graphic images, we say victims, because they're victims.
They are victims.
So if you can help us in spreading the correct language, victims of abortion.
We start a new wave of political correctness.
Right. But in the reality of what it really is.
Yeah.
Eliminate political correctness by saying what it really is.
So now back, I already gave you who he is and his background, so take
Well, thank you, Janet. All right. Well, it really is so great to have you all here, and I hope that in the time that you are here, you get a chance to see our full facility. Some of you have been here before. Some of you have been here for a number of days already, but if you're here just for today and you haven't been here before, Janet, maybe we could arrange for someone to take them around during one of the So. Yeah, it's an encouragement to us. It's a joy to have you here. And actually, this theme that Janet just introduced and asked me to talk about today, I want to introduce it by building on where I left off in my talk this morning, because there was a lot about the dynamics of this current election that intersect with this whole theme of breaking through the denial and showing people what we are talking about when we talk about abortion. And let me therefore start, and how we use actually the reality of what abortion is in order to change the nation and to change the laws and policies. I put up here a rather primitive little little sketch, and this is the way, you know, as each day goes on now, as each hour goes on, we're hearing more about the analysis and the feedback about what happened on election day. And one of the ways it's being described is that a blue wave hit up against a red wall, and there really is showing the pushback and the resistance and the ambivalence of our country about abortion, which is an ambivalence that has been there from the beginning. But the reason that the other side was, it was interesting to see some of the commentary Tuesday night. We didn't even see all of it. Janet, you might have seen some, where it was a little bit reminiscent of 2 years ago, where some of these commentators were saying, well, it looks like it's a little disappointing and very different from what it was predicted. We don't see a blue wave. We don't see some kind of big victory for the Democrats. They didn't take over the House by a very big margin. In fact, the number of seats that they gained, which is somewhere around 27, might be a few more as some of the real close races still get decided. But the point simply being that it's within the historical averages of how much they would be expected to gain in the first midterm of a new president. And President Obama, in his first midterm, lost 63 seats in the House. President Clinton, during his first midterm, lost 52. And here we're talking about 27, 28, maybe 30. Historically, very, very good for the Republican/pro-life side. And secondly, it's practically unheard of that a president in his first midterm gained seats in the Senate. Practically unheard of. And not only did he gain, but he gained several of them, which again has happened maybe not to that extent, but maybe three times in the last 100 years. So something unusual is going on. And I mentioned this, and you can see this dynamic playing out also in the states. There was a couple of states where there were pro-life initiatives on the ballot. And in Alabama, they amended their constitution to talk about the unborn having a right to life, and this constitution provides no right to abortion and no duty to pay for it on the part of the state or the taxpayers. Same thing in West Virginia. So Alabama and West Virginia had these amendments that the voters were to vote on specifically, and they both passed. They both won. And it was, it's another sign of the more people learn about what's going on, the more they do the right thing. But what's interesting in all of this is that to the extent that there was any kind of a blue pushback, now this ties into this question then. Looking at the reality, both in terms of not just the candidates and the parties, but the grassroots people. Here's one of the things we tried to do, that we did do in this election season. 166 House Democrats who were up for re-election voted in January of this year on a bill called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. As the title suggests, this bill said if an abortion fails and the baby is born alive, you need to give that baby medical care, and the best way to do that would be get him out of the hands of the abortionist who is being paid to kill the child and bring the baby to a hospital. And they all voted no. 166 people who this year were asking people for their votes voted no on something like that. Altogether, there were 183 Democrats who voted no. Only six voted yes, and all the Republicans voted yes. What I'm saying is, we brought this up to the attention of voters. Wouldn't you think that on something like this, we're not even talking about abortion, strictly speaking, or babies in the womb. We're talking about a baby born alive. You would think it would astonish people a little bit more, awaken their conscience a little bit, cause them to react. And actually, when people stop long enough to listen to what we're saying, we do see a lot of reaction, and we do get a lot of people, you know, saying, "Oh my gosh, I have to rethink this. I can't support a person like that." But yet you see, and we're getting the numbers now, you know, most of these people, most if not all of these people, getting reelected. It's like, okay, there's a serious disconnect. There was also a vote, both in the House and in the Senate, on putting an end to this. This is the medical diagram of an abortion of a 23-week baby via dismemberment. And we projected this time and time again in our conversations and said, look, folks, we're showing you this because it was actually the topic of legislation. It was actually a vote that came before both the House and the Senate. And the senator here from Florida, who has narrowly lost the election, Bill Nelson, when the vote came up in the Senate as to whether to advance the bill, he didn't even show up for the vote. He didn't want to even vote on it, much less, of course, his record is to vote against these babies all the time. And the point I'm making is that we find nothing gets people more of a reaction than when we actually show them these kinds of diagrams, or even just, you know, one of the things I've always pointed out is look at the speeches of the people who support abortion. Look at the speeches of the politicians, academicians, or anybody else who's getting up and saying that they favor legal abortion. What kind of words will you hear in that speech, and what kind of words will you never hear? Well, you'll hear freedom, women's health, constitution, rights, choice. What you will not hear are the words that you actually find in the medical description of abortion. You will not hear placenta, umbilical cord, long tooth clamp, arms, legs, skull, blood, body parts. You don't hear those words. Find those words for me in any speech of any politician speaking up on the floor of the House or the Senate or anywhere else on the campaign trail. Right? Those words are nowhere to be found, nowhere to be heard. And so when we point out to people, well, this is really the reality of what is going on, we take the debate onto a whole new terrain, a whole different terrain. And, you know, the fact that, let me give you another example. We have, as I say, there was a bill, and it'll be introduced again, that said from 20 weeks forward, the baby is protected on the basis of the baby feeling pain. There was another bill introduced and passed in a number of states protecting babies from any procedure at any stage that involves dismemberment. So it defined dismemberment and then said this must not be allowed. In Kansas, where it was the first state to pass such a bill, this was a few years ago now, when the people who opposed it in the Senate, the state Senate, spoke up against it, they couldn't even name the bill they were opposing. Not that they didn't know about it, of course they did, but they wouldn't say the name of the bill because in the name of the bill was the word dismemberment. When Planned Parenthood of that region sent out its press release opposing the bill, they didn't even name the bill in the press release. Is this crazy? I mean, you're standing up and debating a bill or you're sending out a press release about a bill and you can't even name what the bill is. How far are these people going to bend over backwards to evade and avoid what it is that we're talking about? You see, the examples are endless of the attempt to evade, avoid, and deny. Cover up. When I do things like this, and when I 2 years ago took a step that I didn't consider bold at all, I'm not talking about boldness, I'm talking about common sense, I showed an aborted baby on Facebook. I did it. I'll do it again. I don't apologize for it. I did absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, the more people criticize me for it, the more I redouble my determination to do it again. Showing aborted babies is something that, you know, has been a normal part of pro-life educational efforts, and so I did it in line with what we've always done. And I can understand people being angry. I said to them, you know, if you're not angry at this, really there's something wrong with you. Because how can we not get angry at something like this? Or they might be angry that I put their political friends in a bad light, because I showed it in the context of an election, and I said, brothers and sisters, what I was doing, I was appealing to the people who could protect these babies. I was appealing to the people who could protect these babies, and I was saying, would you please protect them by electing the people who can stop this violence? Okay, very simple message. But the thing I want to point out is, I can see if someone wanted to come along and say, well, that's not an aborted baby, you know, prove that to me. Okay, we can demonstrate that it actually is. I can see people coming along and saying, well, you know, you're saying that the Democrats support this violence, they really don't. Okay, well, give me the evidence. And any number of other ways that they might want to try to contradict what I'm saying. But here's, to me, the most telling of all of the responses to me doing that. You ready? Father Frank has lost his mind. So, in other words, this A and the court decisions that permit it, and the laws introduced that are trying to stop it, and the debate that is going on about it, and the instruments which are named after people, real people, like Warren Hearn. You know, imagine being having an abortion instrument named after you. I mean, Mr. Hearn, you know, you must be very proud. What a great legacy. You know, I had abortion instruments named after me. All of this, brothers and sisters, is in my imagination. I'm hallucinating. Father Frank has lost his mind. He's saying things, he's making things up. He's broken with reality. Really? Really? Is that really what people are going to try to claim? And to me, this shows the nature of this battle is such that, you know, really, where we stand is really, in my mind, the simplest place in the world to be standing. It's like, hey, folks, and here's an example that I use. Suppose I stood on a public sidewalk, as I've often done, I'm sure many of you have done. Suppose I stood on a public sidewalk and I just showed a picture of an aborted baby. Now, let's suppose I'm not dressed like this, so people can't tell by my clothing what I believe. Okay, let's say I'm just dressed in a civilian way. And I'm not saying anything, and I'm not handing out any literature, and there are no words on the sign. Let's just say I'm going to go outside and stand up holding a picture that shows a baby mangled and killed by abortion. Let me ask this question. When people see me standing there with that sign, what are they going to think I'm doing? Are they going to think I'm opposing abortion, or are they going to think I'm in favor of it? Everybody is going to say this guy is opposing abortion. But how do they know that? Again, presuming that they don't already know me, I'm not dressed in any particular way, no words on the signs, no words coming out of my mouth, and no flyers being handed out, they don't know what I'm doing. All they see is me and the sign. They're going to conclude that I'm opposing abortion. Why?
Because nobody in their right mind would show an abortion if they weren't for
it. Is this the only thing that you sell by hiding it? When people market something, when people sell something, don't they want to tell people what it is?
If you're proud,
right? Yeah, if you really believe your own rhetoric, right? If you really believe it's a good thing. I mean, isn't this what marketers try to do? They marketers try to show you, how do you sell the good aspects of what you're selling? If it's not good, why are you selling it, right? Abortion seems to be the only thing that you sell it, you market it by hiding it. You get people to support it precisely by denying it. And so they would presume. Now, if I'm standing on a street corner and I'm holding the sign of a nice big juicy hamburger, what are people going to presume that I'm doing? Well, there must be a hamburger joint right down the street. Hey, folks, go over there right now and buy these nice juicy hamburgers. But if I'm going to show an abortion, obviously I'm against it. And, you know, we've been, and it requires prudence because, you know, the whole question of dehumanization comes in here. You know, that people are, you know, they're seeing this stuff, and if they're seeing it, and they're not responding to it, and they're seeing it, and they're not reacting to it. That is one of the indications that we're suffering a terrible dehumanization right across the board. But praise God, let me read to you a few of the, and as Janet will tell you, I mean, we get more reaction, whether it's on social media or on our webpage. This webpage that that Zach is showing us, you can get to by a special domain we created called Look at Abortion. And if you go to Look at Abortion, Zach, just scroll down and show them the different links that are there. Lookatabortion.com will help people to see various galleries of aborted babies. Okay, first trimester, late term, continue down. Don't click on them, but just let's see what's here. Different galleries, okay, second trimester, specific abortionist, specific baby, images of fetal development, okay. And then down further, here's the medical illustrations of suction curettage, D&E, keep going, partial birth, some of the tools and instruments, and then a few other various links, and then some video footage as well. So this is a whether it's our website or social media or our TV programs, nothing gets more reaction than when we lift off that veil and we simply say, and again, it's not just the images, but just when you think about it, the words themselves. And one thing I ask some of these advocates of abortion, and including the politicians, they say, well, sir, you're saying that you're in favor of legal abortion. Could you please describe for me what an abortion is? Now, notice that question doesn't have anything to do with supporting it or opposing it. In fact, we've gone into these various offices of these politicians. We say, look, we're not here to advocate for or against any legislation. We're not here to talk about Roe versus Wade or anything like that. We're here to ask one simple question. When you say the word abortion, what do you mean? And we show them these diagrams, or we'll read a description, or we'll show them a picture, and we'll say, well, when you say the word, is this what you mean? Or it's just an informational question. What are you talking about when you talk to me about it? Or when you get up there and talk to the public about it? What are you talking about? Are you talking about women's health and constitutional rights? Or are you talking about a baby's arms and legs being ripped off and the head being crushed? What are you talking about? And it's amazing because some of these legislative aides, top legislative aides to senators, I asked them this question and they said, we're really not sure. We really never had this question posed to us. So I said, I said, look, you mean to tell me that you are the key person advising Senator so-and-so about abortion, and you don't even know what he means by the word? I mean, when you think about it, that's absurd. What are you doing in that position? What are you doing, period? So it gets, to me, it's the starting point. I mean, it gets right to the core. And the reason why, how can a nation be debating this for 50 years? You know, maybe it's because we haven't begun debating it. Because if you've got one thing in your mind when you say the word abortion, and the person on the other end has a totally different thing in their mind when they say it, aren't we just talking past each other? I mean, that's why it's an endless debate, not because it can't be resolved, but we're not even talking about the same thing. But when we lead people to this, here's some of the reactions we've gotten over the years. I have been, these are emails we got, and I have been a pro-abortion Catholic. Notice this person said pro-abortion, not even pro-choice. I have been a pro-abortion Catholic. After seeing the pictures of exactly what it was, I nearly cried, thinking I supported this awful murder. I ask Jesus to forgive my past way of thinking. I finally get it. This is pure murder. I pray that more people will get to know what it is that they are supporting. And then you know how they signed this note? My shame. Hello, I'm a 16-year-old female, and I just finished looking at the pictures on your site and what actually happens during an abortion. Now listen to this. Up to 5 minutes ago, I was extremely pro-choice. I thought things like, let women make their own decisions about their own bodies. But because of your site, I realized abortion is not a choice about a woman's body. It is the life of a baby. Within 3 minutes of viewing your website, my face was covered with tears. Those pictures just really hurt to look at, but I am grateful that you have shown me the truth. Here's another one. I have been a pro-choice believer my entire life. Until someone shared your website with me, I was first shocked and then sickened by what I saw. God, how could I have been so misguided my entire life? I actually believed it was not a baby. Now, there are multiple quotes like this of people who changed from pro-choice to pro-life. There's a second category of those who were already pro-life, but going face-to-face with the reality of this, got nudged up to a higher level of activism. Let me state first, this person writes, that I am rarely, if ever, speechless. I am very outspoken. I speak what I feel. The abortion images are jolting and will haunt me the rest of my life. What kind of species are we to accept this? I was pro-life, but I was silent all these years. I promise I will never be silent about this matter again. And we have various other people like that who are already in our camp. But, you know, there's knowing and then there's knowing, right? There's different levels of awareness. And as long as this stays on the conceptual level, there's a whole type of engagement that's not happening. And then, of course, the third category of people are people who actually were pregnant, were thinking about getting an abortion or planning on it, saw the pictures and changed their minds. I just want to say that your site has turned my thinking around. I wanted an abortion because I already have four children. It would be very hard to have another, but after I saw the pictures, I thought there is no way I could do this to my baby. And again, other examples of this. So all we're saying here is that there's power to this. It's a starting point of the debate. We can never forget or ignore how deep the denial is on the part of the general public, on the part of the people that are in public office, and that somehow or another, we've got to continue developing ways of breaking through that denial. And I don't see how one can argue with the proposition that if we're going to have a debate about something in this country, the starting point is, can we please agree, if we agree on nothing else, can we please agree on what it is that we're debating? And I think people on the other side are very hard-pressed not to see that as a reasonable starting point and to keep challenging folks on the other side who agree with abortion. I always ask a simple question. Have you ever seen one? How do you know what you think about it? How are you giving an opinion about, how are you talking about morality, ethics, rights, legality, laws, court decisions? How on earth can you even start talking about these things or think you have an opinion about this if you've never even seen it? Have you ever seen it? Could be the most powerful question that we ask our opponents in this particular debate. So, those are my thoughts. Janet, thank you very much.
Any questions?
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.